Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4 this morning. That was really good, Pastor Jerry. Good exhortation. 2 Kings chapter 4. This morning, for a few minutes, I want to talk to you about this, that all is well. All is well. And I want to talk to you about how that applies to your life. All is well. 2 Kings 4, there's the story here. We call, for those of us that, you know, have read this, we call it the Shunammite woman. And she's a woman that her and her husband were well-to-do, and the prophet would go by their house, and she told her husband, said, "I perceive this as a holy man of God. And, you know, we're going to build a room onto the house, and when he comes by, he can stay here, you know, instead of, you know, the Shady Nook Hotel or something." I've stayed in a few of those places. Amen. You know, no offense, but I've tried to stay in a Motel 6 before, and I just assume they turned the light off for me so I don't have to see what I had to see when I went in there. You remember that, hon? We went to that Motel 6 and we turned around and left. Said, "No, we're not staying here." Anyway, no offense to Motel 6, but you can turn the light out for me, as far as I'm concerned. So anyway, this woman built onto her house so he could stay there, you know. And she was a well-to-do woman, her and her husband. But she didn't have a child, you know. She was barren. And so the prophet was there one day, and you know, at her house, him and his servant. And he said to his servant, "So what can we do for this Shunammite woman? She's done all this for us. What can we do for her?" And the servant said, "Well, actually, she doesn't have a son." He said, "Well, call her in here." And he said, "About this time next year, you're going to have a son." So, and it came to pass, she had the son. Now, the son's grown a little bit. We find here in 2 Kings 4:18, it says, "And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father," this is 2 Kings 4:18, "to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head." That's a lot of people's problems right there, is they're in their head. You know what I'm saying? You, how many know you got to deal with your head, don't you? Yeah. You know, when you see some of the promises of God, your head gets in the way and you got to deal with it. And he said, "My head, my head." And he said to a lad, his father did, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then he died. How many, this is about as bad as life gets right here. You know, when your son or your child dies sitting on your lap. How many, the news doesn't get any worse than that, see? And verse 21, "She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God," you know, the room where he stayed at, "and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses or the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore will you go to him today? It's neither the new moon or Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. And she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward, slack not your riding for me, except I bid you. So when she came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel, and it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite woman. And now run, and I pray thee, meet her and say unto her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? And is it well with the child? Now listen to this. And she answered, it is well. It is well. How many know it wasn't well in the natural? It was about as messed up as it could be. But she said, it's well. All's well. Now, how many know this woman had to be walking by faith to say this? She had to believe something's going to change here, or you wouldn't be saying all's well. And what I want to just take just a few minutes to talk to you about this morning is that when you learn to do what the Bible says and walk by faith, all's well. All's well. It may not look well, but that's how you see it. It's all well. Hallelujah. How many believe you're going to heaven? And you were really positive about that. How many have ever seen it? Very, very few people I know of have. But you believe, right? And Peter said, because you believe, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. See? So, faith, when it's true faith, how many know, before it ever changes anything on the outside, it changes you on the inside. See, how do you know when you're in faith? Well, I think Jill was talking about this morning and saying about the joy. Yep. There's joy. See, this woman's got all, it doesn't get any worse than the news this woman got, that her son is dead, but when her husband asked her about it, she said, all's well. When the prophet asked her about her son, she says, all's well. Now, she's not lying about it. Amen. She's just speaking her faith. Amen. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And I just, you know, I'm not going to go long this morning, but I just want to put this into you, that when you learn to walk by faith, when all is well. What do you mean walk by faith? What does that mean? What does that mean, walk by faith? Well, it just means you trust God's going to work things out.
Amen.
He's going to take care of it. He's going to work it out. Amen.
Yeah.
You learn to do that. When you learn to do that, then, you know, you can just go have joy.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
You know, it's like Jesus said. He said this one time. He said, you need to become like a little child. What do you mean by that? Well, you know what I mean? They just have faith. They just trust.
Amen.
You know, as growing up as a kid, I don't know that we had a lot of money growing up. You know, I look back at some of the houses we lived in, and I know we didn't because of what they were. Well, you know, my parents were doing the best they could do. And, you know, we were certainly not starving. But, you know, we didn't get all the, you know, the designer jeans and, you know, the designer tennis shoes. And you know what I'm saying? As a kid, you know, some of the rich kids had them. You know, I had a friend that his mom or his dad bought him and his sister and his brother, all three at the same time, and this is the 1970s, brand new Firebird Trans Ams with the T-tops on them. I remember those. I saw one of those on eBay the other day. Oh, well, it was a couple years ago, and it was everything I could do. My arm just wanted to push that button, that, you know, purchase bid button or whatever. I was like, no, get back. My wife will break you off if you do that. I'll be left-handed for the rest of my life. Get back over here. Because those were, to me, those were so cool, man. And they had three of them sitting in the driveway. My dad never bought me one of those. He never bought me a car. I mean, he loaned me the money to buy my first car, okay? It was $150. Figure it out. Y'all with me? It wasn't even sitting on the lot. It was behind the building. But it was some wheels to go. It was, some of you are old enough to remember, it was an old AMC Ambassador. Come on, anybody want to admit they're old enough to know what that car was? Sure. Anyway, but I had some wheels, praise God. I didn't have to ride the bus to school any longer. I had my own wheels. And so we didn't have a lot of money. And as you grow as a kid, you don't really realize that. You don't know that because you don't even think about, wonder if we're going to have anything to eat tonight. Wonder if we're going to have a roof over our head. Wonder if we're going to have clothes on our back. You didn't think of that because you just had trust and faith that, you know, El Shaddai and Jehovah Mama were going to provide, right? You just had this confidence. How many know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
See, this is what God wants us to be, like little kids, like we just trust God to work it out. I may not understand, like Pastor Jeff was talking about some of this morning. I may not understand why things aren't happening yet, but I trust God He's going to work it out, that I'm going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living.
Amen.
Amen. I've stood for things for years. Listen to me. And I'm not saying that necessarily we have to, but it's better standing in faith than doing without and doubt. You understand what I'm saying? See, maybe you say, I don't understand why this isn't coming to pass. Well, you know what? It isn't really your job to understand everything. It's your job just to obey. You don't understand everything about God. How many know that? You know, as much as we believe in the Trinity, there's not really any of us in here understand it totally. We use these little examples like an egg and, you know, water, ice cube, you know, steam and all that. But I'm not sure any of us have got it figured out. But you know what? The Bible says there'll come a day when we will know as we are known. But that day's not now. So Paul said, even himself, we see through a glass darkly. We don't know everything. But that's where trust comes in, man. When you don't know what's going on, you still trust God that your word's true, and I have faith in you that you're going to cause it to come to pass and be a reality in my life. Even though I may be fighting a battle right now, even though I might not know, but yet all is well. You understand what I'm saying? All God wants us to do is just agree with Him. You know the scripture in Proverbs 18, it talks about death and life is in the power of the tongue. And they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. In other words, you're going to end up eating what you're saying. A man's belly shall be filled with good from the fruit of his mouth, the Bible says, or the harvest off of his lips. So what I'm not telling you we say things that, you know, that are weird or nutty. We say things that God's word says about our life. Amen? What God has said about me. I'm not poor, busted, and disgusted. I'm blessed, and so are you. Amen? The Bible says we're favored, right? We have favor, amen. I just want you to get this morning that all is well. If you learn just to live by that principle, hey, it's all right. I don't understand everything, but it's well. Providing you've put it in God's hands. How many of you got to cast it over on Him, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 17 and 18 tells us this, says that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, while we don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, you know, the unrenewed mind doesn't understand that. How could you look at things not seen? Well, the Bible says faith is the substance of things. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, isn't it? So what's it talking about? It's talking about walking by faith or living by faith. See, if you just live by what you see, and I know to the unrenewed mind or the unbeliever, they think you're nutty. But this is what the Bible teaches us to do. It's all throughout the Bible. So the Bible tells us that Satan is the god of this world or this age, and he blinds the minds of those that don't believe. So what happens? If you get over there on his territory and you just look at things in the natural, he'll blind your mind to the truth. Because you're on his territory now. Amen. It's like I told my pastor friend the other day, you know, I was at his church, and I said, I love the name of your church, Arena of Faith, Pastor Carter. Because there's really a deep revelation in that name. You got to get out of the arena of sight and get in the arena of faith. The arena of sight's the devil's arena. Amen. Remember Thomas's faith? Remember him? What was it about his faith? He couldn't believe it unless he saw it. He said, unless I see, I will not believe. That was his choice. I will not believe. And Jesus showed up, and you know what? He hears our unbelief. How many know that? He showed up. He knew what Thomas had said. And he said, Thomas, reach here your hand and check out my side and check out the holes in my hand and be not faithless but believing. And Thomas, then he goes, oh, my Lord, my God. And Jesus rebuked him basically and said, you know, you believe because you've seen. Blessed are those. Blessed are those. It is well with those that haven't seen and yet believe, because that's true faith. I don't understand all that, but the Bible teaches us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. The Bible says you can't be saved without faith. How many know? God could just show his face in the sky and, you know what I'm saying, and freak everybody out if he wanted to. How many know that's not his way? Because that's not faith. And faith is a real thing in the realm of the Spirit. How many know that? It's a real thing. And so if you don't live by that, you don't connect to His realm where He's at. It's impossible to be saved without faith. See, an atheist came up one time to Brother Hagin and said, well, I'm telling you why, I don't believe there's any God. Just prove it to me if there's a God. I don't believe there's a God. Brother Hagin said, you couldn't be saved anyway. The guy goes, what? He said, you don't believe. You can't be saved. And then he walked off. He said, next night he was at the meeting and the guy came back up to him and he said, he got mad again. I'm telling you, I don't believe in God. There's no God. I don't believe in God. Brother Hagin said, just forget it. You can't be saved. He said, the Bible says he that cometh to God must believe that he is. So he stormed off again. He said the next night he came back again, third night in the meeting. And he came up to Brother Hagin and said, now I'm not mad this time. I just want to talk to you. He said, I've been thinking about that verse. That's been on me. I can't get away from it. I want to be saved. He got saved. But he had to believe. How many know that? He had to choose to believe. You tell me something, I either choose to believe it or I don't believe it. You know what I'm saying? You ask the kids what happened to your homework. Well, a Martian came down from and stole it. You know what I'm saying? Stole my algebra book, the whole thing. I don't believe you. You say, I was just lazy and I burned it in the trash. I believe you. Okay. All right, see, it's got to be believable, but the thing of it is, God's word is believable, but you got to choose to believe it. How many know that? Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. What's this saying? When you put your trust in the Lord, all will be well. Hallelujah. He will direct your paths. Lean not on your own understanding. How many know your understanding is limited? My understanding is limited. You know what I mean? See, some people, Paul talked about people that profess themselves to be wise, they become fools. They think they're so smart. You know what I'm saying? You know, how many have family members like that? Oh, yeah. We do, don't we? I tried to, huh? Well, I'm thinking about some of the other family members. She knows better now, but there's more than one that needed to know, honey, that we have in our family that, you know, they think they're real smart, real intelligent, you know. I'm thinking about one of our uncles that I tried to win to the Lord one day, and he said, I respect Christians, but, you know, thank you for your theological concerns. I'm saying, man, you're about 90 years old. You better get some concerns of your own. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about, just so smart, and he's very smart, intellectual, and all that. But that gets in your way sometimes, amen? Now, you don't have to become an idiot to become a believer. Thought I'd let you know that. The Bible says we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, not the removal of it. All right? Just want you to know that. So what are we talking about? You just don't use that to guide your life totally, and not in the things of the Spirit. Of course, in the things of natural, you want to use your brain, right? God gave it to you for a purpose, but it's not to rule your life. It's not to control you, just like your emotions aren't to control you. Right. You're supposed to walk by wisdom, not by your emotions. Your emotions, man, come and go. How many know that? Right. You know, you ever wake up one morning, you just feel down? Come on, you super spiritual people. I mean, sure. But you don't live by that. You ever wake up one morning, you don't feel like going to church? And how many of you? There's a lot of you obey that, I'm telling you. But anyway. How many of you? You don't go by how you feel. You go by what's right. You know what I'm saying? I used to work secular job I've been in ministry for a long time. And it's not like I don't have to get up sometimes early in the morning, but not like you people do every day. I mean, you know, my wake time's anywhere from 5 in the morning to 8 o'clock. Not night, morning. You know what I'm saying? Anywhere in that 3-hour period, I'm usually up, you know, around that time. But, you know, some of you all have to get up like 3:30 in the morning. You know what I'm saying? You probably don't feel like it every day. You're probably not dancing around the kitchen that night before. Praise the Lord. Wow, I get to get up at 3 in the morning tomorrow. No, but you do because you're supposed to, right? Because if you don't, there's going to be some negative consequences. You can't live by your feelings, see? You can't live by your emotions. You have to live by what's right. Same thing's true. You can't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, trust Him. He'll direct your path. He'll cause it to smooth out. He'll cause it to work out, and all will be well. I mean, this widow woman wasn't leaning on her understanding when she said all's well. Her understanding was telling her my child just died. But she had another understanding, and that is this, that praise God, the man of God will raise him up. Hallelujah. God will raise him up, right? I love this, and we'll close with this. You get anything this morning? We'll close with this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 talks about, above all, put on the shield of faith. Above all. Now that word above all, because why do you put the shield of faith on? Let me say this first. How many know the Bible tells us what it'll do? What will it do? Anybody remember? It'll quench, it'll put out, it'll extinguish all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So that would mean all will be well. If doesn't mean you won't have any darts shot at you, but if you choose to walk by faith and not by what you see, they'll get put out. Whether that be, you know, like Pastor Jerry's talking about, it could be a financial thing, could be a physical thing, maybe a physical problem in your body, could be a marriage thing, it could be a family thing. You know, there's a lot of things, a job thing, but you can put it out by walking by faith. Amen. You learn to walk by faith and not by sight, which means you don't talk about all the negative stuff all the time. You talk about what the Word says. She said, it is well. It is well. What did Jesus say? Didn't He say something about what you said? Whosoever shall say on this mountain, wow, you're a big mountain. He didn't say that, did He? He said, talk to it. Tell it to be removed. Didn't Jesus say that? And people said, well, that was just for Jesus and His disciples. No, He said whosoever. We're still whosoever's, right? We're still whosoever's today. So this is something that works for everybody. But I think one of the things I know in my life, one of the things that I'd like to see is for things to happen faster. You know, I remember when Pastor Chuck first started preaching, some people liked Pastor Chuck because they called him the faster pastor. How many of that's changed? He's not here to defend himself. Well, you know, he didn't preach very long. Remember that? He preached like 20 minutes, 25, 30 minutes. And they said, oh, Pastor Chuck is the faster pastor. I was in slow gear. But you know what I'm saying? I like things to be fast. How many know that? But how many know sometimes things don't always happen fast? Now, we don't want to put limits and think that everything's going to be this drug out process and all that and limit God from doing the instant things. You understand that? But we have to be able to like I think Pastor Jerry talking about this morning, we got to be able to stand. We got to be able to stand in faith and say, all's well. And you know what I'm saying? It's easy. How many of the first day is easy, but the second day, as it goes along, if you don't watch it, it gets harder. Because you start letting that talk to you more. Right? So, but you have to learn to maintain the first day. You got to, what is it, Pastor? You got to start in faith. It's your saying. You ought to remember it. I mean, you got to start in faith, stay in faith, and end in faith. So you got to start. You got to start, right? You got to stay, and you got to finish. I used to see that, like I've told you, with running races. I know you can't tell it now, but this was a well-mechanized body at one time. And I ran races. And I'd always watch the people that didn't know what they were doing. You know, you knew they didn't know what they were doing because they showed up with, you know, donut bank coffee and donuts. I'm like, they don't have a clue. See, I offended some of you right then. What's wrong with don't? No, you know what I'm saying. And now here's how I knew they were rookies. Because they when you did the half marathons. I never did do a full marathon, but did several half marathons. You did a half marathon, you still got to pace yourself. You know what I'm saying? 13.1, that's a long ways. That's a little bit of a jog. And so you have to pace yourself a little bit. And I'd watch them just take off and just fly. And they'd just fly by you. And I thought, well, they're not going to make it. And you know, I've seen them. I saw one lady laying in the ditch. Seriously, she's just laying in the ditch. She said, what'd you do? Oh, I was like that Levite. I went on the other side of the road. Somebody find her. Praise God. I'm busy here. I got to finish this race. Like, come on. Matt, they have people trained to go pick those people. Matt used to do that, right? I saw Matt one day. You know, I was running a half marathon. And Matt's on his bike picking up those people that are in the ditch. He's the good Samaritan. Matt is the good Samaritan. Pastor is not. Amen. So, I mean, running your spiritual race is the same way. The Bible says we got to run it with patience. Well, you know, you don't have to run a 100-yard dash with patience. You just run all flat out and go. Amen. You know, you don't say, your coach doesn't come up to you and say, hey, now this 100-yard dash, I want you to pace yourself. No, he wants you to give it everything you got for 100 yards. But you can't do that in a long race. You got to pace yourself, see? See, you had a pace. I would pace myself, do about around 9 minute miles. That's a lot slower than some people, but it's faster than others. But I'd do around 9 minute miles, you know, and run one of those longer races. So, you know, you had some people who were doing 7, you know, and all. But I figure, you know, I wanted to make it all the way. See, the same thing's true. When you have situations come, you have to learn just to stay in it for the long haul and let your confession be, all is well. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on up, team. Did you get something this morning? Amen. All is well. That's what this widow woman said, wasn't it? Yep. Let me ask you again. In the natural, was it well? It wasn't really. It really doesn't get much worse than that. Remember Jairus? I remember the ruler of the synagogue named Jairus, whose daughter was at the point of death. And Jesus was going somewhere, and Jairus came to him and said, I ask you, come lay your hands on my little daughter. She's at the point of death, that she may be healed, and she will live. And Jesus went with him. But on the way, someone came from his house and said, don't bother the master, the teacher, any longer. Your daughter's died. I mean, that's as bad as it gets. But notice what Jesus said. Jesus basically said, all is well. He said, fear not, believe only, and she'll be made whole. What's that saying? All is well. But it's up to us, right? It's our part. Let me say that better. We have our part to do. We're co-laborers with God. That's a better way to say that. It's not all up to us, but we got to do our part so God's part can come to pass. What if this widow, what if this woman, this Shunammite woman, had a fallen apart? It wouldn't have been well. But she said all was well. And the man of God came. How many of it takes faith to cause things to happen, right? If it hadn't been for her faith, that little boy would have stayed dead. But because she said, all is well, all is well. Let's all stand up. Thank God. Everybody listen to me now. No matter what you're facing, you got to have your confession, all is well. And you got to base it on what God said in His Word. Amen. So I may not feel like it. Amen. I don't always feel like things, you know, but doesn't change. Amen. We live in such a feely, touchy, feely world. We got people now, well, I don't feel like a man. Well, if you got man plumbing, you're a man. Well, I don't feel like a woman. I don't care what you feel like. You need to don't change your plumbing, change your feelings. The world's deceiving you and messing your life up. You understand? This is something that needs to be addressed, and truth needs to be spoken to all these lies. They're messing your life up by telling you, well, however you feel. No, there's times as a kid you felt like being disobedient, but your father adjusted that, didn't he? Why? I went and laid out in the street in Winslow, Indiana, because I was mad. I was between four and five years old, got mad at mom and dad over something, went out and laid out in the middle of the street. You know, my father did say, oh, look, honey, he's identifying as a speed bump today. No, he jerked me up out of that street and gave me some real good reasons never to go do that again.
That's right.
And thank God it was Winslow, Indiana, on the back street in Brownstown, where there was a car went by every hour or so. Had I tried that on the Lloyd Expressway, I wouldn't be here preaching today. What is it? See? We need to tell people truth. Speak truth. People say, I was born this way. Well, listen now. We were all born messed up. That's what the new birth is for, so we can get born again and change all that. Don't tell them we can stay that way. What are you talking about? Jesus came to set us free. Jesus came to deliver us. When I came to Jesus Christ, I was a failure, a druggie. I did every kind of drug known to mankind, just about. But Jesus didn't come to me and say, hey, come with me, son. Come follow me. And, you know, keep your drugs. It's not a big deal. No, he came and set me free. Hallelujah. It's just like, you know, we weren't baptized for the permission of sin. We were baptized for the remission of sin. It's in remission in our life. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.